5 o'clock, 3 minutes, Aleksander Wierzejski Live starts now. And tonight, first 30 minutes, we'll talk to Glenn Jorgensen. Hello.
Hello.
And obviously about the Smolensk crash investigation and the things that's happening around. And those accordings, those occurrences are really interesting. The next 30 minutes, 7:30 till 6 p.m., we will talk with Marysia Kądzielska about the Polish-American Congress and why should this organization be accompanied by other. But that's for tonight. But let's start from some short, nice music because we are all kind of steaming off after the tense week of work. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got a year. Wow, I feel nice. A sugar and spice. I feel nice. A sugar and spice. So we start the discussion just in front of us a few days from now, the 7th anniversary of the Smolensk crash, and we are still facing the same questions and still being manipulated by the main media with the same false claims. Glenn Jorgensen is one of the persons who chose the right side, that came from the dark side to the to the bright side, and you actually discovered that the official version does not add up.
I have to say, I'm now a member of the commission, and if you're hoping for details of what we are working on, I won't be able to say this, but I can explain a little of my background. And I started, as you correctly pointed out, with a point of view that the official explanation could be true. I didn't know anything about this, but was confronted by a colleague at lunch hours. And to be honest, I had the impression that his doubts were maybe in the range of conspiracy. So I got hold of the official report and I started doing calculations. I have a background within aerodynamics from the Danish Technical University. And after 3 months, I had to admit that the official version doesn't add up. It doesn't agree with the laws of physics. And the more you look into the level of work or the amount of work not done or the quality of this, the more apparent it becomes that a new investigation is required.
Okay, so and you met people in Poland who also came to the same idea that yes, something has to be done, and all this this actually started in 2012, the first Smolensk conference of scientists researching various conflicting versions of what might have happened. The commission works only 1 year, so you cannot give us obviously details, but you can say how many things that was done by your predecessor, by this official commission, was wrong, was plainly against any rules and just a mystification.
Yes, and I can say this with support from crash investigators, from other crash investigators. I should mention here, it hasn't been brought forward in the to the attention of the Polish public, but I am I have fulfilled and passed the tests and exams required to have the what's called the PG cert. This is sort of certified crash investigator at the world's what is recognized as the world's best place for this is Cranfield University outside London, and going through this program, it becomes even more apparent all the rules that were broken by the Russian investigation. I mean, we have the full range from parts being moved around, from evidence being destroyed, from evidence being left out, from fitting the evidence to the hypothesis, all the things that we were told at the university to be aware of, they simply broke each and every rule. So it's to claim that the Russian investigation has any solid basis is simply not correct.
Okay, and what about the Polish commission who filed their forms, who produced documents and bunch of those, hundreds of pages?
Yes. As crash investigator, it's first of all the big mystery why Donald Tusk chose to pull Poland out of the common of the commission that was formed on equal basis between Russia and Poland according to the 1993 bilateral agreement between Russia and Poland. And as crash investigator, this becomes even more mysterious, because normally we are fighting with people and interests who want to be part of such an investigation. So all of a sudden here you have the major part, the Polish part, pulling out, and by this they are eliminating the chance to get have any direct influence on the evidence gathering, on the quality of the evidence, and digging this spade deeper into the ground, and they are becoming totally depending on the Russian ability to give them correct information. And this, in my opinion, is not the way to do a transparent and trustworthy investigation, especially when you take into account the history between Russia and its neighbors, and amongst these, Poland. It should be the opposite. You should have even more transparency, even more international involvement. But Donald Tusk chose to pull Poland out of these investigations, and this was the first big, in my opinion, mistake on behalf of the Polish interests. The investigations themselves on the Polish side can be wrapped up in very few words, because we have the clear dictate from Miller, the Minister of Inner State at the time, under Donald Tusk government, who for not less than four times in the one of the initial meetings of his commission, he was head of this Polish investigation commission, and on the one of the initial meetings, he not less than four times dictated his group that they had to reach the same conclusion as the Russians. Now, it's very important to notice at this time, it was the 28th of April 2010, 18 days after the disaster, and nobody knew what the official Russian version would be. So I find it very, very strange for such a commission, and it, in my opinion, eliminates any trustworthiness to such a commission when the head of the commission and part of the government is giving such orders.
And also, the Russians were not only influencing the commission in Poland, but they produced very good propaganda to the world explaining what happened. And actually, most people know this propaganda and kind of stops thinking because, well, it's case solved. Let's move to other things.
That is true. It's something I meet on the way about, and it's it seems that within the few minutes after the crash, they had the well prepared explanation, and this explanation was repeated in some Polish media and amongst some Polish politicians. And this story has more or less stayed stable since these few minutes after the crash, and this is. I find this very, yes, and hard to believe as crash investigator when you know how much work you have to put into coming close to the truth. It seems it doesn't seem correct.
Yeah, but the car. Let's turn a little bit to the current acts of the commission, which you are not really free to speak out, but out of the possible things that could be done when you have no access to the actual wreckage or to the data from the black box. The commission is only confined to analysis of the existing proofs. So, just say in percentage how much you did with this circumstances.
Yes, first I have to stress that I'm not bound by any orders from minister or whoever who is dictating what or what I cannot say. But I am bound by the simple fact that if you want to do the true and honest crash investigation, you have to keep all doors open. You have to turn every stone, as we say. So it is inappropriate to come out with conclusions, pre-conclusions, unless you had turned all these stones. And as you can imagine, after 1 year, we haven't, obviously.
So in percentage, how many stones have you turned during this process?
Yes. This is like with development. You never know, because underneath the one stone, you can have things that you need to investigate for a big matter. But I want to answer another part of your question is sort of getting into this area. How much are we actually able to solve with respect to this case if we cannot have access to the wreckage or the black boxes? And I can tell you from his historic perspective that there have been investigations that were conducted on much less material than we have available. And even though I strongly encourage Russia to deliver the black boxes and the wreckage back, I cannot understand why they are not doing this. If they have nothing to hide, why not just openly give this back to Poland? It belongs to Poland, and this would help the investigation very much. But it is not the factor that will limit us from reaching the truth. We have, I think somebody told me, around 35,000 pictures available. And of course, we need to, some of them are identical. We need to scrutinize each and every picture. And we have lots of other evidence material that we can get to the bottom of this case, even if Russia is trying to put any obstructions in the investigation.
That's Glenn Jorgensen with us. And Our Times is for Blues Brothers right now. Just 2 minutes of a good blues. Live 20, Aleksander Wierzejski, live with Glenn Jorgensen tonight. We speak about the crash investigation of Smolensk 2010, 7 years on. We still on the same level, at least in terms of public opinion. Glenn, I've heard about like two main ideas. The first one was to buy a Tupolev airplane similar to the one that was crashed, and try to repeat that catastrophe, that crash on some limited area, and check whether the wreckage will look like the one we saw in Smolensk or in some different way. Obviously, this could be done using a remote steering. Another idea I've heard about was to buy just the wings of the Tupolev and check if the birch tree will be cracked by the plane when the plane is traveling in this 300 kilometers an hour or not, which will fail first, and just to show this on the camera to quit at least this discussion: what is stronger, birch tree or speeding 280 kilometers an hour airplane or jetliner. Are those things real? Are those things being discussed within the commission?
Well, I wouldn't want to go into detail of what we are discussing or not, but I find these ideas very very good. I think they are very much in line with the way the crash investigator works, because you can have theories, and theories are necessary. And by the way, there are no such work done by the Russians or the Poles in the previous work. I mean, studies that show that the wing will either survive or not survive. This is done outside these two previous commissions. And this is very important work. But at the end of the day, there's nothing that matches Mother Nature's ability to give the answers to the important questions. And as crash investigator, you're always asking the questions, and you need to get the nature to answer these. And one way to do this, and the best way, is to do experiments. And experiments showing, for instance, the meat between the birch tree and the wing are very, very strong and would be very easy to show to the public what is the result.
All right, but are the financial constraints prevent the commission to conduct such an expensive research?
I don't think this research is rather expensive in the overall picture. I mean, last year I'm not sure on this number, but I think it's around 1.5 million zloty for the entire commission. Don't hang me up on this, but I don't want to sound like I'm bragging or something. But personally, I've already invested or spent, would be the right word, more on this case in the way that I've used more than 4,000 hours. I normally charge $150 per hour for my regular customers, and I've done all this for zero zloty. So this is more than the Tupolev, this is more than the entire budget for the whole commission last year. I don't see what the problem is for Poland in this case. I mean, there should be sufficient funds, and this is my feeling, this is my I have not met the restriction of this in the work we want to conduct, and it shouldn't be in this way, because we are facing the modern history of Poland's worst disaster. And if you cannot, as the society, fund what it takes to get to the bottom of this in the right way, then I don't know what the society is worth.
So, again, we don't know whether such an investigation will be conducted. I've heard about the model that's being made in the United States.
I don't know any details of this. I'm just saying that from the general perspective as a crash investigator, this makes really good sense to do such work. And I'm hoping, and I would strongly work, that we would do such experiment. We need to go through the plans over and over again in detail. This is always like this in project planning. So hopefully we will be able to give you more close details on such experiments next time we talk. But that's the closest I can get to this answer. I think it would make very good sense to do this.
Okay. There are also other costs than financial for the researchers. First of all, the people who are involved in this commission are giving up their time, their free time, presumably, from other jobs on the cost of their families, but also are vulnerable to the attacks. And you are one of the examples of the attacks.
Yes. Sorry, I have been attacked in Polish media in Denmark, in Danish language, and I expect also around the 10th to be attacked. It was like this when Frank Taylor, who came last year to the press conference, showed up. He was attacked big time by Polish media, totally unreasonable. He's one of the most prominent crash investigators on this planet. He founded the Cranfield University Crash Investigation Program, and he's the one who actually wrote the Bible for all us other crash investigators. So he's the grand old man. He has the Jeremy Leader Award in 1999, and he was attacked big time. So I don't think this would be different for me, Professor Biniender.
What sort of attacks he had to endure?
Well, they were saying things like he never participated in real crash investigation. This was pure lie. He is only academic. This is pure lie. He is very well, has the very high reputation amongst crash investigators. We have the society. I think maybe 1,300 crash investigators are on this planet, and they have the highest you can get within this society is the fellow, becoming a fellow. There are only 28 fellows, and Frank Taylor is one of them. So this is the caliber of this person.
Not to mention that gentlemen from this previous Polish flight investigation or crash investigation commission didn't have these qualifications.
This I won't comment on, but to me it's not worth digging into the previous Polish work of the simple fact that they were dictated what to answer. And this is never good for any crash investigation.
Right. Well, so you have been attacked in Danish press that is written for Poles and the one that is written for the Danish people.
Yes, this was on a homepage called Poland Now. And they basically were... They went and interviewed the technical school that I was educated at in Denmark, and they asked if I were was the professor. And of course, the school answered no, because I never claimed to be professor. So they write, okay, Glenn Jorgensen has no title. They asked them, what would it take for him to be professor? Yes, he needs 3 years PhD degree. So they write, Glenn Jorgensen is lacking 3 years of education. This is the level of the misinformation that is seen. And then some of this was repeated back in Newsweek, Poland, and Gazeta Wyborcza, and magazines and newspapers like this. So it works both ways. They grab stuff from Poland and show in Denmark, and they do the opposite. And I expect here around this time... in this weekend, maybe, or Monday, Tuesday next week, you will probably see in the Danish media again new attack.
Which is very strange, given the Denmark's current conflict with Russia about Nord Stream 2.
Yes, or maybe this is playing a role. I don't know. It seems all of a sudden there's the big interest for what happens in Poland, and maybe this is about Poland... saying no to voting for Donald Tusk. I don't know. It doesn't interest me, these kind of things. I want to concentrate and focus on being the crash investigator and coming with the solid and sound crash investigation based on evidence.
Denmark is a small country. Have this news reached your friends that, you know, there's something wrong with your education or something like that? Your friends, your family?
Yes, this has reached them, but they, of course, know that these are not true. This is not the truth. So I take this, actually, for me, this is confirming that I'm doing the right job, because the people who are doing the right job in Smolensk, they are all attacked. From one end to the other, they will be pulled through this media machine. You can take Professor Binienda, Professor Novacek, Dr. Baczynski. They all are personally attacked, and this is going after the football player rather than the ball. I mean, they can attack our work. That's fine. We should be able to defend our work, but keep it towards the results. Or if we have any lacking results, then let's discuss this. But attacking the person, this is only done if they do not have the ability to attack the results.
Right. Well, Glenn Jorgensen with us. Thank you very much, Glenn, for coming here and sharing with us this disturbing information.
Thank you very much. And I don't think there's any new disturbance here. It's probably what you've been used to over the last many years under the communist regime.
We are being kind of hardened by this. This is the way the Russia works all the time. The Russia were blaspheming our state for years. There are writers who believe in this. Not to mention our, I don't know, the people who fought for freedom. They were basically named as murderers. And buntowniki, the rebels, but in the bad sense by Russia, and it's propaganda. So yeah, it's just another turn of the old story to us, but for you is a new and fresh discovery that the truth does not really count.
It's eye-opening experience, I have to say.
Right.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, you had to have it. 5:30 and few minutes, and so it's a time for short music break. Well, all right. The chill out was necessary for all of us. 5:36 here in Warsaw. Marysia Kondzielska is at our studio.
Again, thank you for having me.
Well, that's always a pleasure. And people are suspecting that you are becoming a silent co-host of this fantastic Aleksander Wierzejski Live broadcast.
Well, I already feel here as at home.
Great, great. That's fantastic news. And we are calling to Mr. Zygmunt Staszewski to the United States. Hello.
I'm here. I'm on the headphones right now.
Fantastic. Sir, which city you are in?
I'm sorry?
Which city you are in?
I'm in Hollywood, Florida right now.
Hollywood, Florida. So it's barely morning at other side of the pond.
It's 11:30. It's 6 hours behind.
Right. Okay. Marysia brought up a very interesting topic, that is Polish-American Congress. This organization was founded as the support for Poland, right?
That is correct. It was founded in 1944 as a political organization, and the main objective of Polish-American Congress was to fight for freedom and independence of Poland.
Yes, of course. That's also what we put into an interview with Mr. Staniszewski, which was published at Wprost.pl. But as we learned right now, the Congress start having serious problems. And that's why we would like to ask you again, could you explain what kind of, like, how this organization changes right now and what was the reason of that? Hello?
Well, the Congress has been changing for a number of years. The last successful political action of the Polish-American Congress was related to Poland joining NATO, but this was in the previous century. It was a long time ago, so to speak. Since then, Congress has been changing its mission, changing its bylaws and the mission statement, moving away from political issues altogether. And this has been happening for a number of years. We were trying to stop it as national directors, but we were not successful. Recently, in December, the president of Polish-American Congress, Frank Spula, issued an official letter to national directors and to the presidents of the state chapters, indicating that the governing body of the Congress, the Executive Committee, is considering change of the legal statute of the Congress from a political organization to a charitable organization. You know, there are different rules in the United States by the Internal Revenue Service, which is, you know, the tax department, where when you donate money to a charitable organization, you can get a tax write-off. If you donate money to a political organization, you don't get that. And, you know, there is no such thing as a 1% limit, like in Poland. So theoretically, there could be large amounts of money. Now, Congress has been having financial problems for many, many years. And every year since I've been a national director, the budget of the Congress, you know, keeps going down. And part of that movement by Frank Spula supposedly was to be able to raise more money for the Congress and to maintain the office in Washington, D.C., and a secretary on the payroll and so forth. But if Congress becomes a charitable organization, the so-called 501c3 under the IRS rules, then the Congress will not be allowed by federal regulations to do any political work. And that's something that we are, you know, very strongly opposing. And this is why we decided to form a new organization, strictly political organization, among the Polonia in the United States that will fill that void that the Polish-American Congress is creating.
So you are saying first that the Polish-American Congress is stopped being or quit being a political organization, and it will have definitely more money from being charitable. But the question is there a need in the United States for political organization of Polish-Americans? Is there a market for this activity?
And we have seen that as national directors of the Polish-American Congress. There are several issues that we were trying to deal with, and we were not able to succeed because of the lack of support from the leadership. One of the issues is the taxation agreement between Poland and the United States, which was signed on the Polish side still by President Komorowski back then, 4 years ago, and it went to the U.S. Senate, and that agreement has not been promulgated or has not been voted upon by the U.S. Senate and hasn't been signed by the U.S. President. Now, this agreement will be very advantageous to Polish-American citizens, to people who have both Polish and American passports, who decide to go back to Poland and retire in Poland, because then their American pensions will only be taxed in America, and the Polish pensions will only be taxed in Poland, which is definitely advantageous to people who decide to retire in Poland. We had a committee at the Polish-American Congress dealing with this specific issue, and I was actually appointed as a chair of that committee. We did some initial research. We had no chance to influence the actual text of the agreement. And at the very end, the president of the Polish-American Congress dissolved the committee before we were able to finish our work and put pressure on the American politicians to promulgate this regulation, this new agreement. So this is just one of the examples where there is a required political pressure from Polonia to be put on American politicians to get things done for Polish Americans and also for Poland, because you know you can only imagine if there is tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of Polish Americans retiring in Poland, it will be a boom for the Polish economy. There are many political issues as well. One of them is being support of the NATO troops relocation into eastern Poland. That's something that we've been talking about, and we had actually resolutions by the national directors, and the executive committee did nothing with those resolutions. There was also a resolution trying to protect the Polish name in the United States, specifically dealing with the accusations of the so-called Holocaust industry, the demanding reparations. And again, this resolution went nowhere. In addition, we are trying to promote Polish Americans to political offices in the U.S. And over the last couple of election cycles, there was really no incentive from the Polish American Congress to do so. I'll give you an example. I was serving as a vice president for American Affairs of the Long Island, New York division for the last year. And during the last elections, when Donald Trump got elected, I received literally zero communications from the executive committee, from the president or the vice president for American Affairs. They were literally not involved in the last election cycle.
So you mean the Polish-American Congress president? Because the election got elevated the Frank Spula very much. Also in Poland, we've heard about this person, and we thought he's in very good relation with the Donald Trump, so current president of the United States.
That's a perception. It's not the right perception. First of all, the meeting that happened between Donald Trump and Frank Spula before the elections was not arranged, to my best knowledge, by the Polish-American Congress. It was arranged by other people. There was a lady, Łucja Świątkowska, who was the president of the Political Action Committee, Polish-Americans for Trump, and she did make these arrangements, to my best knowledge, without any participation of Frank Spula or the executive committee. Basically, they said, hey, Mr. Trump is coming to Chicago on such and such date. Would you like to meet with Mr. Trump on the morning of, you know, whatever day? And that's how it happened.
Sir,
so giving Frank Spula any credit for arranging that meeting, I think, is false. And in addition, there was nothing to follow up. There was no communications afterwards. There was no communications after the election. We still do not have any Polish Americans connected to the Polish American Congress in the U.S. administration. So it's just perception. You know, I don't think there is a sign of success here.
Sir, and as a summary, could you tell us more about the new organization which you're right now forming?
After that official declaration of the executive committee back in December, where they said that they are going to change their status to a charitable organization and getting away from political structure, a group of national directors and other people connected to the Polish-American Congress decided to meet in Miami, and this was in February. And it was a group of nine people, half of them who have been, you know, solidarity activists in the first Solidarity in 1980-81, and also went through internment camps and emigrated to the United States as refugees from communist Poland. People involved in a number of other organizations as well here in the United States. And we had a discussion what to do with the Polish-American Congress and whether to, you know, try to start another organization or not. And the consensus was that basically we have been trying to reform the Polish-American Congress for the last 7 or 8 years. We did not succeed, and the only way to have a political organization among Polonia is to create a new one. We did not make the organization. We didn't register it yet. We have a founding meeting in a couple of weeks from now on April 22nd in American Częstochowa in Pennsylvania, where a large group of Polonia will meet together and will organize, hopefully, a new organization, name it, and create a temporary leadership. For time being, our group of 9 people only established a very temporary leadership. I happen to be the president of that group. And Mr. Andrzej Burchardt, also a Solidarity activist from Częstochowa, is the secretary. And Dr. Stanisław Śliwowski from New Jersey is a spokesperson for this organization. So it's a very temporary structure, but we are hoping to create a nationwide organization. We have a site on Facebook, which was already liked by over 750 people, so there is a response.
So there is a good start. You have all the members. Okay. We will definitely follow this organization start, since Mr. Spula's organization proved to be very difficult to work with from the Polish perspective, from the perspective of Polish government at least. So we definitely need someone who will compete with them to speak on behalf of Polish Americans about political issues. So really it looks like that it's a hot need to have organization go ahead.
In a new organization, there is a need for people who understand, who really understand the political situation in Poland. Many Polish Americans born in the United States who sometimes don't even speak Polish language, and in some cases speak broken Polish, they don't have access to the Polish media, and they are not very well informed about you know, what's going on in Poland. I'll give you another example. During the occupation of the Polish Sejm in December, we placed a number of calls to President Spula, asking him to react in defense of a democratically elected government in Poland, which he says he supports, yet he never issued any official position or any official statement in defense of the existing government. And that's something that's totally unacceptable, because people in Poland are expecting Polish Americans to voice an opinion, especially the group of Polish Americans that's very well informed about what's going on in Poland. So there is definitely a need for political organization. We already established a list of about 20 topics, political topics related to Polish Americans and Poland, that the new organization will be in charge of, or will you know, try to take care of. So there is a draft of the agenda for the new organization. And
sir,
it looks like there is a group of very talented and very dedicated Polish patriots.
So that's fantastic. We really count on cooperation with your organization, and we will be in charge. Most of last 20 minutes, our listeners heard to Mr. Zygmunt Staszewski from California, who is founding a new Polish organization.
Florida, I would say.
Florida. Okay, anyway. Yes, 6 hours. You said 6 hours.
Warm. In warm. Both places.
Yeah, and close to the Donald Trump's mansion. and just Xi Jinping's visit, but this topic we'll cover next time. Right now, thank you very much for receiving our phone, and hope we will be in touch very soon about and say a little bit more about this upstarting organization. Marysia Kądzielska is our co-host here, Mr. Staszewski. Thank you very much, sir. So that's very much needed idea to, first of all, the competition probably will spin some KPA heads to think.
Oh, definitely. Competition is the best thing for any organization, to be honest. So, but the idea itself about changing KPA to non-political organization is just ridiculous, because not only it started in 1944, but in 1989, of course, it was supporting Solidarność, and it played a huge anti-communistic role. And right now, when they want to, we all know that main part of Polonia is very much right wing and it's very conservative.
The KPA is not.
And right now,
it's not reflecting the thoughts and the political attitudes of its constituency.
Exactly. My question is, what they are going to focus on? I don't know, dances and drawings, or baking Polish cakes, or preparing dresses? Because what was going to be their role?
There's nothing wrong with dancing, I guess.
Of course.
But this is very important political organization that can bridge the gap between Poland and Europe, between United States and Poland, and this important part of Europe, and play an important role in developing contacts, maintaining relationships, and so on and so on. Yet, you know, they speak about baking cakes. I mean,
definitely, still the biggest task of Polonia.
The F word is just coming up every time I think about Polish American Congress, but fortunately, I don't say it.
So I'm also looking forward to this new organization and reforming of it. Well, it will be very important.
Yeah, well, but there's lots of things to talk about. Probably more of this next time. Right now, we have fantastic time in front of us. I don't think we will have Aleksander Wierzejski live next Friday. So happy Easter to each and every one of our listeners.
Really? No Aleksander Wierzejski next week?
No.
It's a disappointment.
It is, yes. I'm sorry also, but, you know, this Good Friday and everyone
of
has
course,
their festivity
yep.
and so on. So we will be celebrating, we'll be fasting just to prepare our stomachs for all this fantastic Easter food that we'll definitely abuse 2 weeks from now.
Of course. So I guess very happy Easter to all listeners.
So to tell, thank you very much.
And
for
happy Passover, which starts next week as well.
Those who celebrating Passover will definitely have the same problems with over-eating on their tables. Okay, so that's about it. You will be able to listen to our show online. We have a fantastic new portal, wnet.fm. And once I figure out how to put our story on this website, it will be on, and hopefully well before Easter.
Chase the bunny.